Hello and welcome to another episode of the Side by Side ATC podcast. I'm your host, Tom Haynes. And this week we're going to, you know, kind of continue in the same vein of what we've talked about as far as three main things that you can do prior to getting to Oklahoma City. And we talked about the alphabet. The alphabet is pretty straightforward. You can find it anywhere on the internet. It is, and you can look at the air traffic control alphabet, the air traffic control numbers, how to say them. You basically say them the same way you would in any other circumstance, except nine becomes niner. It sounds too much like five, and so they changed it to niner. Five technically becomes fife with an F instead of a V. Three becomes tree instead of three. I have known maybe two people in my career that have said tree. Everybody says niner. Niner, they will get you for at the academy. Fife, no. They won't mark you off if you don't say fife and you say five. If you say three instead of tree, they will not mark you off. It's not a phraseology error, but niner is. So be careful of that one. And then last week I talked about how you can study for the map and study the map before you get to Oklahoma City. Why it's important, why it's a good idea. Okay, so spent a long episode last week on that. This week, we're going to talk more about the actual planning. Planning how you are going to attack the academy. You can't just go in and think, well, I'll take care of it when I get there. I'll be able to take care of it. I don't need a plan going in. Well, it won't work that way. And you've got 4 weeks of basics with your classmates to figure out how you as a class want to attack the academy. And you need to do it as a class. But if you have a class that's not willing to do that, you need to have an idea of what you're going to do before you get there. Before you get there. And so nothing that I'm going to talk about tonight is secret FAA information. If you're looking for that, I'm not your resource for that. Okay? It's not what I do. Everything that I'm going to talk about is on the Discord and available to you. I'm going to talk about the points that are available, what you need to focus on, and what you need to focus on a little bit less. What your primary focus is and what your secondary focus is. Okay? And then it's going to be up to you because you know how you learn. I do not know how you learn. Not each and every one of you. I can't. And when you get to the academy, your lead instructor, your A-lead, they can't know everything about every student in the classroom. There's not enough time to get to that point. And so you, as the student going through the academy, you have to know how you learn best. Okay? It's up to you. And you need to have a plan going into Oklahoma City. Just like you need to have a plan when you go into each and every problem that you're going to run, every scenario that you're going to run, every scenario you're going to see, you need to have a plan when you walk in the door to the lab. When the clock starts, you need to have a plan. Okay? So, there's a really good book out there, and I stumbled upon it. And you know me. If you've listened to the podcast, you know me. I love to read books. I love to read, and then I love to see how I can adapt those books and what I've read to help you young men and women who are at the academy. And this is a book called The 12-Week Year. And amazingly, for those of you in the en route portion, your year is 12 weeks. I think that might work out really well. Okay, so the idea in this book is to break down a year into 12-week segments. You can get a lot done in 12 weeks. And for those of you going through the En Route Academy, you are going to get a lot done in 12 weeks. But you need to have a plan. Otherwise, weeks are going to come and go, and you're still not going to have a plan, and you're going to be behind. So the only way to stay ahead of the program, because I've heard it described on Discord, I've described it this way myself, the information they are going to give you is going to come at you so quickly and with such force, and there's going to be so much of it. It is like they're shooting a fire hose of information at your mouth, and you're trying to take in all of it. And it's almost impossible. So you have to have a plan. You have to have a plan for what you are going to study, how you're going to study, how you are going to attack all that information so that you can break it down into digestible chunks. There's a riddle out there. How do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. How do you get through the academy? You get through the academy one day at a time, 1 week at a time, one goal at a time. So with all that introduction, let's get into it. So the academy is 100 points. You have 5 tests. There were 20 points. You have 2 non-radar evals. There were 7 points apiece. You have 3 radar evals. There were 22 points apiece. So the tests are worth 20. The non-radar evals together are worth 14. And the radar evals are worth 66. Okay? So if you're looking at, and non-radar is approximately 6 weeks, radar is approximately 6 weeks. And so let's take non-radar, for instance. Okay? You're going to have 2 tests during non-radar. Map test comes first, 13 working days into your time in the en route portion of the academy. CKT1 is a week or two later. Okay? Actually, it's 2 or 3 weeks later. Make that 2 weeks later. So the map test is the first test. It's the first points available. It's worth 2 points. Two points. The CKT1 is worth twice that. It's worth 4 points. So 6 points. Wow, that's a lot of points. Your non-radar evals are worth, I think I said earlier, 14 points. Oh, wow, that's twice as much as those 2 tests put together. Ah, so I'm sensing something here. Your focus, your main goal during those first 6 weeks are those 2 non-radar evals. That's your primary goal, is to get good enough to score well on your non-radar evals. That is your primary goal. That's the most points available to you during those first 6 weeks. You can't worry about the radar evals yet. You can't worry about the checklist. You can't worry about the CKT2. You can't worry about aircraft characteristics test. Not yet. Okay? So getting good at the non-radar evals. Now, unfortunately, they don't have a specific lesson that says we're going to get good at non-radar evals. There's really only one way to do that, is to take great notes during each of the lessons, because each of those lessons is important. Then you have to go home and you have to find a way to study. You have to find people to study with. Practice the phraseology that they talk about in class. And they will tell you the ones you need to know and the ones that you don't, aren't going to use as much. And there are phraseology paragraphs in there. When you go to clear someone, in particular, the Vicksburg clearance, it's a big, long clearance. There's a lot that you can get wrong. You need to be able to say that clearance in your sleep. Period. With the crossing restriction, because the crossing restriction is going to be the same 95% of the time. And the other 5% of the time, the first restriction is going to be the same, and then you're going to have a second restriction. So it is something, that particular clearance is something that you can practice, and you can practice, and you can practice until you can say it in your sleep. That is preparing yourself for the non-rotary vowels. Okay?
So the first 6 weeks, the non-rotary vowels are your primary goal. Secondary goal, number one, is going to be that MAP test. You need to know the MAP. You have to know the MAP. This is why
I suggest you learn the MAP before you get there, and then you keep refreshing it as you go. And then when you finally get into the non-radar or the non-radar portion, you find out what all those things mean. Oh, wow. Now it makes sense, and now I already know the MAP.
I can concentrate not on that secondary goal, because you know what? I've already accomplished it. Now I can focus on that primary goal more. And by focusing on that primary goal
and taking really good notes and studying and learning the LOAs and learning what each of the lessons has for me,
you know what I'm also doing? I am also preparing for that other secondary goal,
which is the CKT1. I've gotten 2 points because I worked ahead of time on something that the FAA has made available to me. And if they're going to make it available to me, why not take advantage of it? I would say on Discord, 90% of the people disagree with me on that. But you know what? They didn't have Discord when they went through the academy. That information wasn't available to them from a reliable source before they got to Oklahoma City. And I can bet you that of the 90% who disagree that you should learn the MAP before you get to Oklahoma City, at least half, and I'd be willing to bet about 70% of them, if it had been available to them, they would have learned the MAP. Okay?
So the MAP is your secondary goal, the first one that comes up. By working towards your primary goal, learning what you need to learn to run the non-radar evals and the non-radar problems, by doing that, you're actually working on the other secondary goal, which is the CKT1. And by doing that, you need to focus on that primary goal.
Learning the board management, learning the strip marking, learning the phraseology, learning the departure procedures, learning the arrival procedures, learning the holding procedures, learning lateral separation, vertical separation, longitudinal separation, separation between an arrival and a departure called visual separation, separation between successive departures, the LOAs, the SOP, all of that is part of running the non-radar scenarios. And you can only get good at that by having someone focused, intense practice at home and please with other people. Please with other people.
But you keep that primary focus,
that primary goal. That is your primary focus.
The other two
will happen. And so Tom, what do I do if I didn't learn the map before I got to Oklahoma City? Well, it's not your primary focus. Remember, your primary goal is at 14 points at the end of the first 6 weeks. The secondary goal is at 2 points, 2.5 weeks in. Okay? So if you're trying to break down, okay, let's say I have 5 hours of study time. Or let's cut that down, maybe be a little bit more realistic. I have 4 hours. Yeah, I didn't cut it out much, did I? I have 4 hours of study time every day during the week. I'm going to do a little bit more on Saturday, maybe a little bit less on Sunday, and you can switch those two however you want. But I'm going to do 4 hours a week. And this is assuming that you're in a class of jerks and no one wants to study with anybody else. They're all going to go it alone because they're all type A. I won't call them what they're actually, I should call them. But no one wants to work with each other, so you got to do this yourself. And that's something I would never suggest that you do, but you may be in that situation. So you have to have a plan. So of that 4 hours, I'm going to devote, let's say, 3 of those hours to whatever the lessons were and to learning the lessons, learning the phraseology, learning the strip marking, okay? In those first 2.5 weeks, I'm going to devote at least 30 minutes every day. And I mean 30 minutes every day at least, and on the weekends maybe an hour, to learning the map. You do that combined with the time that they give you in class to do it, you will learn the map. Okay? And you'll learn the map well enough to get 85-90% on the test. And that's fine. Aim for 100. You should get 100. Okay? But you've spent the vast majority of your time focused on the primary goal, being able to run the non-radar scenarios, being able to run the non-radar evals. The more you practice, the better you will get. The better you get, the more confident you get. The more confident you get, the better prepared you are. And when you walk into the evals, you will have a confidence that the evaluators don't normally see. You do that, and you will accomplish that primary goal of your first 6 weeks in the En-ROUTE Academy. And that is to get the most of those 14 points that you can. Your goal is to get all of them. If you think that's unrealistic, I can tell you it's not. I've seen it done. I think the best actually that I've seen was 197. It can be done. And you can do it. If you focus and keep those two problems, that last day of those first 6 weeks, in focus. Okay? So, let's say, for instance, you got a 90 on the map test, we'll give you an 80 just because the math is easier for me on the CKT1. So you have 1.8 points on the map test. You have 3.2 points from the CKT, which means you have a grand total of 5 points out of the 6 possible points that were available on those two tests. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And for all of you people out there, all you students out there who have not gotten anything below an A on anything in your life, sorry, the Academy is not about making A's. If you can do it, great. And the goal is always 100. The goal is never a 70. The goal is always 100. But don't be surprised, especially on that CKT1. It's the first big test you've gotten from the FAA. It's nothing like the test to finish basics. Okay? It's totally different. And it's much harder. So, we'll say that we got a 90 on the map test and 80 on the CKT2. We have 5 points going into the non-radar evals. But because we focused on the non-radar evals, and we practiced, and we practiced, and we practiced, and we got better, and we got better, and we got more confident, we averaged, even with all that, I'm going to give us an 80 average. Now, let me do some quick math here. I think that gives us 11.2 points from those. So if you add it all up, we've gotten 16.2 points from the first 6 weeks. We're doing fine. We're doing great. We're there. Okay? Because the FAA has 14 more points on tests for us to get. And if we can score high on those, we'll be either over 30 points out of the 34 that they give us, or we're going to be really close to it. And that's a great place to be. Now, the second 6 weeks, radar. Radar comes at you fast and furious because the lab, you have more time in the lab, so you have less time in the classroom. Okay? You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for radar. So, here again, your primary goal. I know you all know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to have to say it anyway. The primary goal during the 6 weeks of radar are those 3 evals on those last 2 days. Obviously. That's 66 points. That's 22 points apiece. Okay? That's our primary focus, our primary goal. Everything we do has to lead us to getting better in the radar. Okay? And here again, that means we're going to have to focus on taking notes during the fast and furious lessons that are coming at us. There's a lot of phraseology. There's a lot of steps. We're building on a lot of what we learned in non-radar. So you cannot do a brain purge after the non-radar evals and start from zero. You can't. It won't work. You have to remember what you learned in non-radar. Because radar is going to build on it. It's not going to build from scratch. It needs that foundation that you got in non-radar to build on. And it's going to come fast. And it's going to come furious. It's going to be mad, especially if you did well in non-radar, because it doesn't like that. So, you're going to have a lot to study. Study, study, study phraseology, study procedures, study the LOAs in the radar version of the LOAs, study the SOP for radar. Study anything that you can find on Discord. And there's a wonderful document on Discord about non-radar or about radar phraseology. There are some things that I would love to have seen on that, but it is one of the best documents I've seen. I know I've talked about it in previous podcasts. It is still, it's worth talking about. Find stuff on Discord that will help you. And by that, I mean, don't ask a lot of questions on Discord, because like I said, you have a lot of people who made it through, yes, but they only went through once. I'm here talking to you as someone who was there for 5 years. Not because it took me 5 years to get through the program, okay? It's not like I was in high school for 8 years. It's because I was up there going through it with class after class after class. And this is what I'm telling you for how to help you get through it. So you focus on those three evals. Focus on the phraseology you need. Focus on the procedures you need. Focus on the steps. How do I handle a military change of destination? What are the steps? The instructors will give you some shortcuts for remembering it. Work on it. Work on it. Work on it. Okay? They'll talk about emergencies. They'll talk about emergencies in general, and then when you're in the lab, they'll talk about how to handle the emergency specifically. Same with the military change of destination. Look and see how you treat the departures now. They'll talk about it. Point outs. Hey, go back to my podcast on point outs and why are they important? What are they? Why are they important? Hello. Point outs are 70% of your problems and probably 80% of your separation errors. Missed point outs. What's a handoff? And why do I care? That was another podcast. You're going to learn all this. The strips are going to be a little bit different. The strip marking gets a little bit different. Okay? Your airspace changes. It doesn't go just to 17,000 or 17,000. Now it goes into flight levels, up to flight level 230. So there are lots of changes. You need to stay on top of them. And here's one thing that I saw way too many classes do. They stop practicing together. And I've said it before in other podcasts. I'll say it again. I know, Tom, I don't have a radar at home. How am I supposed to practice? I don't have a keyboard at home. How am I supposed to practice? You practice a phraseology. You set up scenarios. I had one class that taped the non-radar map to the bottom of a glass coffee table. And they would put tokens or whatever, you know, I guess no one walks around with coins anymore. But you can put tokens, you can put, caps from a pen. This is the airplane, this is what it's doing. What do you need to do? And how do you do it? Go through what the keyboard entry is. Go through the call. Go through the phraseology for making the call. And get it taken care of. And practice it. You have to keep practicing. And if you can get your class to continue to practice together, go through this together, then you can take, let's say it's a class of 14, which is the middle of the road number for a class for en route. If you don't practice together, then you're looking at maybe 8, 9 if you're lucky. If you do practice together, you're looking at getting 11, 12, 13, or dare I say 14. Pass. But you can't do it alone. You have to do it together. The best thing I can tell you, if your class is about to get into radar, keep practicing together. Get through this together. Okay? So, during the radar portion of the classroom, you're going to have an aircraft characteristics test. All you have to do is learn a chart. It becomes one of your secondary goals during those 6 weeks. You can start working on the aircraft characteristics, remembering that chart right after you finish your non-radar evals. That night, you don't have any lessons to study. Study the aircraft characteristics chart. Okay? It's worth 4 points. 4 points is 4 points. So let's say we do pretty well on that. We'll give ourselves, 100. So we've got 4 points from the aircraft characteristics test. We're now up to 20.2 in our theoretical person going through the academy. We're doing well. We're doing well. Okay? We still have lessons. We still have, there's a huge lesson on pointouts and handoffs. And you will get a lot of, you'll get some practice time, but you have to practice at home. And while you're going through that, you're going to get another CKT test, CKT2, controller knowledge test. It's about 60-65% radar and at least 35-40% non-radar. So there again, you cannot do a brain dump. You cannot do a data dump after you finish non-radar. You need that information. It's worth, that test is worth 5 points. It's a hard test. Okay. We're going to give ourselves a 90 on it. So that's another 4.5 points. We are up to 24.7 points. Now we start the radar scenarios, the radar lab. And you have to study. You have to study. You have to look ahead to what's coming up. And I just can't say it enough. You have to have intense, focused practice. Keep a record of things that you're missing in the scenarios. You'll run 3 scenarios a day for the rest of your time at the academy. Keep notes. Look for what you're missing more than just a couple of times. And then focus on that. Focus on the new things that are coming up. You'll get new things in the last run every day. You go home, focus on those new things, but don't forget the things you've already covered, the things you've already learned. Okay? Each day, those new things are your primary goal for that day. The secondary goals for that day are the ones that have already come up. Now, if you have some that are giving you problems, that becomes your other primary. Use the same amount of time that you devote to the new stuff to working on the things that you're missing. It will help you. It will help you. It will help you. You keep working on that. Now, while you're going through the radar scenarios, you need to get into what's called the mini lab. It is basically a keyboard lab where you can work on the keyboard entries to get things done in the radar lab. You need to get, I was going to say proficient, but no, you need to get better than that. You need to get where you can do things correctly the first time. And when I'm talking about keyboarding and typing, I'm not talking about speed. I'm talking about accuracy. Because remember what I just said a few moments ago. You need to get where you can get every keyboard entry that you need to do correct the first time. Sending a PVD to a sector so that you can point an aircraft out later on. That needs to be something you do correctly every time. Do not miss. When you're typing in a flight plan, that needs to be something that you can do correctly the first time. And take whatever time you need to do that. Accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. Speed can be built, but you can't be fast and build in accuracy. It's hard to do. You have to get the accuracy first, then you can build up speed. Okay? There again, it's one of our primary focuses. Can be work going to the mini lab and working on increasing our speed while staying accurate. Okay? And so the checklist eval comes up. Checklist eval is usually a pretty good test as far as for the students. We are going to assume that we get 100. So we're going to get 5 points for that. We are now up to 29.7 points going into the radar evals. Okay, 29.7 out of 40 is not bad. Okay, so we have been focusing, and by we, I mean you, have been focusing on the evals, the radar evals. And you've been focusing on what you need to do to get better and as good as you can get in preparation for those three runs. You want to practice just like you did in non-radar. Practice to the point where you start to gain confidence. Okay? Have as much confidence as you can going into those 3 days. You're going to lose sleep in the week leading up to it. You just are. Okay? It's just going to happen. So, our theoretical person has 29.7 points. They need 70, which means we need to get 41.3 points out of 66. Which means we need to average 63. I'm rounding up for you guys that are doing the math out there. I'm rounding up. So we need to average 63, which means in those three runs, we need a total of 189 points. We get that on the nose. We will average 63 for the three runs. We will pass. We will barely pass, but we will pass. Okay. So, here again, you've been focusing on the radar evals, focusing on getting better at the D-side, at the radar assistant. And if you put in the work, if you put in the time, if you put in the energy, if you put in the focused, intense practice, you can get to the point where you have a semblance of confidence going into those last 2 days. Now, I have seen people with 31 points fail. 31 points going into the radar evals fail. I have seen students with fewer than 25 points going into the radar evals pass. Okay? It can go either way still. But if you get to the point where you're running one of the 11s, one of the 12s, and there are nine of each of them. There are nine 11 problems. There are nine 12 problems. you'll understand that when you get there. If you can run one of those problems pretty well, then even if you don't run any of the others well, by running one of those problems well, you have shown that you can run an eval problem well. So, continuing with our theoretical person going through the academy. So they need to average 63. Let's say on the first one, they get a 65. I've seen this happen. You come out of the lab, you're heartbroken. You're heartbroken. 65. Well, what did you need to average? What did we say you needed to average? 63? Okay. You haven't hurt yourself. You've gotten 65 of that 189 points. You now only need 124 points, which means you've actually reduced what you need to average down to 62. Not bad. Like I said, we didn't hurt ourselves. And we got through the first radar eval. It's the hardest one. I don't care if it's not the hardest, complexity-wise or traffic-wise or anything like that. It's the first one. It's the hardest one. After that, you know what to expect when you walk in. And even if it's a harder problem, a lot of times students do much better on the second run. Okay, so let's suppose that we did that. Our theoretical person did that. They got an 80 on their second run. Well, we only needed 124 total points. Now, instead of needing to average 63, instead of needing to average 62, we only need to get a 44 on the final run. Now, don't get ahead of yourself at this point. I've seen it happen. Don't get ahead of yourself. But also, have confidence. You just ran an 80. That's a good problem. The problem before that, you ran a 65. That's a good problem. Our theoretical person would take either one of those scores in a heartbeat, because that means they pass. But hang in there. Don't assume anything. Go in there confident, because you should be by this point. You've done really well. You should be confident. But also understand that you still need 44 points. Okay? It can be done. You can do it. And let's say our theoretical person ran a really good problem, got a 90, passed without a problem. Okay? None of what our theoretical person has done is out of the realm of possibility for any of you. It takes a lot of work. Believe me, I've seen it. It takes a lot of work. And I know I've talked about it before, but I have seen people come in with air traffic experience who felt like they didn't need to put in the work in order to pass. And in that same class, I saw one, a student come in with air traffic experience in a classroom setting who didn't take anything for granted, worked his tail off, and did extremely well, passed with ease. The person who assumed he was going to pass with ease didn't. This program, that the FAA has devised is all about the work that you're willing to put into it as a trainee, which is really what you are. You're not a student. Do not treat this as you would your college classes. You are a trainee learning how to become an air traffic controller. You have to have a plan going in. Know what your primary goals are. Know what your secondary goals are. And know what's in between those. Each of the lessons. The lessons are about getting to and accomplishing those primary goals. The tests are the secondary goals. Because if you look at it, there are 14 points in the non-radar evals. There are 66 points in the radar evals. That's 80 points. You could get a zero on every test and pass. Here again, it's not something I would suggest. Take the points. The FAA is trying to give them to you. Take them. Do not let something that the FAA is trying to give you for free, and it's not really for free, you still have to work, but they're trying to give you these points. Take them. Take all of them. But realize that those points at the end, the 80 points that they're going to make you earn by showing what you have learned and applying what you have learned to an air traffic situation, those 80 points are the primary goal. Because you can get 100 on all five of these tests. You can get 20.0 points from those five tests. But if you have not practiced to the point where you can demonstrate what you have learned in an air traffic situation, then you're going to finish the academy with exactly 20 points. And that's not where you want to be. Focus, intense focus on the right goals will get you through the academy. And that is a plan that you can have before you get to Oklahoma City. It's a plan you need to have before you get to Oklahoma City. It's a plan that you need to work out with your classmates while you are all in basics. Just get together and say, hey, we're all passing this test. We're all passing basics. How are we going to attack non-radar? What's our goal? How are we going to get there? When are we going to practice together? What rotation are we going to do? Where are we going to meet? That's what you have to have before you start getting fed that fire hose of information. If you wait until the fire hose turns on, it's going to be too late. So do it before you get there. Do it before it gets turned on, and you'll be ready for it. And you'll be able to eat that elephant one bite at a time. You'll be able to chunk that fire hose information, and you'll be able to use it. You'll be able to learn it. You'll be able to demonstrate it. And you'll go on to one of the best careers there is. So, that's the show this week. Thank you all again so much for listening. And again, I say this every week, please let me know what you think. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating. Follow us. Send it to someone you know who needs to hear it. If you're at the academy, oh, my heart, just, oh, I want to help. I'm here to help. If you have a question, and if it's your first time with the podcast, great. But understand, yes, I do have a coaching business for students who are at the academy. But this is not about that. This is about helping you who are there, you who are going there, you who are in the middle of it. It's about helping you get through it. That's why I'm here. So if you have a question, if you don't know what's going on and you can't figure things out, email me. We'll get together. We'll talk on a call. And we'll talk about where you are and how I can help you. And there are so many ways I can help you. And that's what I do. So, the email will be in the link in the notes. It's Tom Haynes at SideBySideATC.com. The website is SideBySideATC.com. And I realize it's not the best website in the world. I'm not even sure it knows how to spell best. But I'm not a website designer. I'm about to get someone, hopefully, who can help me with that. But I'm not a website designer. I'm an air traffic controller. I'm a coach. And I'm part someone that cares. That's all I am. So, please, the website is what it is, but I am also who I am. And so, if you're going through this journey, please don't feel like you have to go through it alone. Get someone to help you, get someone to walk along with you. And if that's a family member, if that's a classmate, if that's a friend, great. But if you need someone, let me know. I'm here and we can get through it side by side. Until next week, good night.